ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 19 द पुंसवन रिचुअलिस्टिक सेरेमनी टेक्स्ट 5। यथा त्वं कृपया भूत्या तेजसा महिमौजसा जुष्टैः गुणैः सर्वैः ततोऽसि भगवान् प्रभुः। यथा त्वं कृपया भूत्या तेजसा महिमौजसा जुष्टैः गुणैः सर्वैः ततोऽसि भगवान् प्रभुः। यथा एज त्वं यू कृपया विथ मर्सी भूत्या विथ अफुलेंसेस तेजसा विथ प्रावेश महिमा ओजसा विथ ग्लोरी एंड स्ट्रेंथ जुष्टा एंडाउड ईसा ओ माय लॉर्ड गुणाइ विथ ट्रांसेंडेंटल क्वालिटीज सर्वे ऑल तथा देयरफॉर असे यू आर भगवान द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड प्रभु द मास्टर। ट्रांसलेशन एंड परफॉर्म्ड बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद श्रीला प्रभुपाद की। ओ माय लॉर्ड बिकॉज यू आर एंडाउड विथ कॉजलेस मर्सी ऑल ऑपुलेंसेस ऑल प्रोवेस एंड ग्लोरीज स्ट्रेंथ एंड ट्रांसेंडेंटल क्वालिटीज यू आर द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड द मास्टर ऑफ एवरी वन। परपोर्ट इन दिस वर्स द वर्ड ततोसी भगवान प्रभु मीन Therefore, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Master of everyone. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is endowed with all six opulences in full. Moreover, he is extremely kind to his devotees. Although he is full in himself, he nonetheless wants all the living entities to surrender unto him so that they may engage in his service. Thus he becomes satisfied. Although he is full in himself, he nonetheless becomes pleased when his devotees offer him patram, puspam, phalam, toyam, a leaf, flower, fruit or water. In devotion, sometimes the Lord, as a child of Mother Yashoda, requests his devotee for some food as if he were very hungry. Sometimes he tells his devotee in a dream that his temple and his garden are now very old and that he cannot enjoy them very nicely. Thus he requests the devotee to repair them. Sometimes he is buried in the earth and as if unable to come out himself, he requests his devotee to rescue him. Sometimes he requests his devotee to preach his glories all over the world, although he alone is quite competent to perform this task. Even though the Supreme Personality of God has endowed all possessions and is self-sufficient, he depends on his devotees. Therefore, the relationship of Lord with his devotees is extremely confidential. Only the devotee can perceive how the Lord, although full in himself, depends on his devotee for some particular work. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 11.33 where the Lord tells Arjuna, Nimitta matra bhava sabhya sachin. O Arjuna, merely be an instrument in the fight. Lord Krishna had the competence to win the battle of Kurukshetra, but nonetheless he induced his devotee Arjuna to fight and become the cause of victory. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was quite competent enough to spread his name and mission all over the world, but still he depended upon his devotee to do this work. Considering all these points, the most important aspect of Supreme Lord's self-sufficiency is that he depends on his devotees. This is called his causeless mercy. The devotee who has perceived this causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by realization can understand the master and the servant. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sanyavadi Paschata Desatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Dadadhara Srivasati Gauravakta Vrunda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Thank you for being here. I hope that I'll be sufficiently blessed by the august presence of all devotees to speak something meaningful in glorification of Krishna. And very nice to see all the Gurukul boys here. See, Bhagavatam is full of nectar. Why it is full of nectar? Because it tries to glorify Krishna and his devotees simultaneously. Because they are non-different. Krishna and devotees are non-different. You can't really separate them. Because wherever devotees are there are Krishna. There is Krishna. And wherever Krishna, there is his devotees. You cannot separate them. They are inseparable. So this particular chapter is very intriguing because, you see, Diti, we know that descendants of Ditis are known as Daityas. And the leaders of these dynasties, Daitya dynasties, are Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakya. And all of us, we know that it is Krishna who killed both Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakya in the form of Lord Narasimhadev and Varahadev. Obviously, Diti, she is not an ordinary mother. She is wife of Kashyapa, whose another wife is Aditi, whose sons are demigods. And prominent among them are 12 Adityas. One of the Adityas is Vamandev. So, obviously Diti was very morose. Her sons were killed. No mother becomes happy. No mother will become happy when she sees her sons
are killed. So she wanted to take revenge against Indra, because you know Krishna, whenever he does anything, it is known at the higher level, he is very partial to the demigods, in particular Indra. And hence, she wanted to have a son who will kill Indra. And you see that, you know, you can't get a son that's like that. So she has to approach her own husband, and that is Kashyapa, the great Rishi Kashyapa. And when Kashyapa heard the purpose for which Diti is asking for the son is very much abominable. So although he was externally very compassionate and merciful to his wife Diti, but internally he wanted to purify her. So in the process, she was prescribed a Vaishnava Vrata, Pungshavana Vrata. You know, that is how you will see that Diti will have 49 Marutas who are Vaishnavas as her sons. Those are details, we will not go into detail. But what the issue here is? Issue here is whether it is Diti or Aditi. You know, we think Ditis are Daityas and there are demigods. So demigods are very nice and Daityas are not very nice. But this is not the case. If you see, Diti is a very glorified mother, because in her dynasty there is Prahlad Maharaj, there is Bali Maharaj. You know that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to Tota Gopina to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Pandit, in his usual style, humbly will beg, what topic I would speak? And Mahaprabhu would say, please speak to me about Prahlad Maharaj. Literally, mostly he would hear about Prahlad Maharaj, and next would be Dhruva Maharaj. But mostly Prahlad Maharaj. Why Prahlad Maharaj? You see that Prahlad Maharaj is epitome of devotion. Nothing was favorable to him. His father was an autocrat, atheist, and he loved only himself. The world is nothing beyond him. He was ruthless in his approach. In fact, he connected the entire universe. Just like, no, the present world is so networked. You can go from Delhi to New York in no time. So nicely networked. In his time, the entire universe was networked. He can send his men to Indra's planet and plunder wealth from there. He will send people to sun planet, any planet. He is so powerful. In fact, this is one of the issues when we read Bhagavatam, you will see that when we read Bhagavatam, you cannot really talk about only your experience, earthly experience, because Bhagavatam when, you know, is presented, the entire universe, starting from Brahma, Indra, Varuna, Chandra, everyone, the part of the family. So it appears, Sri Sri Gaunitaya Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundara Ki. Yes, so when we read about any leela, You know, sometimes we wonder where it is happening. Is it happening in earthly planet? It is happening in Indra's planet? It is happening Chandra's planet, sun god's planet? You know, sometimes we get bewildered. You know, we know when Krishna's Leela was there, Sudharma, the assembly hall from the Indra's planet was brought directly and placed in. Where? Where it was placed? Dwaraka. So it's sometimes intriguing. What is this? So actually these things has to be understood properly. Actually all living entities, from plants to rivers to aquatics to human being, all these forms are pervading all everywhere. Just like we heard that Parijata flower was brought from Indra's planet to earthly planet. Yes or no? That means there are also trees. There are Ganges river. There are oceans in all planets. This is science that has to be understood. The entire universe consists of earth, water, air, fire, ether. And this earth, water, air, fire, ether is pervading everywhere. So Brahma's planet also consists of earth, water, air, fire, ether. So also earthly planet. But this notion of earth, water, air, fire, ether, that needs to be understood scientifically and properly. Not using our myopic view. Because when I was a new devotee, I used to come 1992, 93. There was a devotee, you know, I used to remember he was to tell me that there is only fire in sun planet. And then he would say, you know, there is only air. You know, like that, there are conceptions. Sometimes we try to speak, but these are all wrong notions. Earth, water, air, fire, ether, these are five different space. You see that space and experience, they are non-different. Our experience is space itself. This is something, you know, science, I don't want to go in this particular topic. But you have to recognize, everything is made up of space, different kind of space. Okay? And why space is necessary? Space contains information. And why information is necessary? Because information awakens us. And what kind of information? Now there are two kind of information. One is spiritual information and the other is illusory information. Spiritual information takes us back to Godhead and illusory information keeps us here eternally and makes us go through the cycles of birth, death, old age and disease. So there is space and there is information. Okay. And who is doing everything? Who has established this structure? The structure is established by Krishna himself. It doesn't matter whether in that structure a demon is manifesting or a demigod is manifesting. As long as the glorification of Krishna is taking place, Krishna is satisfied. Because that is what is the best welfare activity for all. We have no idea who is Krishna. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 500 years back when he came here, he visited all around Govardhan, Imlital, he took a bath in Chirghat, Kesighat, in the Kaliyadaha. And then he stayed in Akrura Tirtha, Akrura Ghat. for many days actually. So during that time, you know, there are some local people, they came and said, Krishna has again incarnated. And where has he incarnated? Now he has incarnated in Kaliyadaha. Every day and night we see him in Kaliyadaha. And they were speaking with so much of confidence. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal associate Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he wanted to go in the night to Kaliyadaha and see Krishna face to face. You know, can you imagine? Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he is with Krishna. He is with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is non-different from Krishna. And he still wants to see Krishna in Kaliyadaha. So Mahaprabhu slapped Balabhadra Bhattacharya. Said, you are such an idiot. You believe these fools? And exactly that time, some of the learned people around, they came and they wanted to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because they heard a very wonderful sannyasi has come to Vrindavan. And actually they were Mayavadis. And Mayavadis, they consider a sannyasi to be as good as Narayana. And hence they wanted to have darshan of Mahaprabhu. And their consciousness, they wanted to bow down to Narayana, Sannyasi Narayana. But of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Narayana himself. Not only he is Narayana himself, he is the source of Narayana. Right? So obviously, Mahaprabhu asked, because Balabhadra Bhattacharya was so deluded, to teach him, he asked, some news is there, right? What is happening in the night? So Mahaprabhu jokingly asked, and the voice, no, nothing is happening. You know, in the night, the fisherman is catching some fish with a torchlight. These local people, and they're imagining there is Krishna, that light is like a jewel in the hood of the Kaliya, and Krishna is dancing there because the fisherman is looking black. And that is how they are thinking this Krishna has appeared. So this is the biggest tragedy. Tragedy of this world is the illusory energy of Krishna can bewilder us every moment of our life. Even if we are with Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, just not only here, you see, yesterday was Gita Jayanti, so while coming, on the way I was reading the chapters, 11th chapter, Arjuna is narrating after, because in the 11th chapter, Krishna, Arjuna is requesting Krishna, please tell me, show me your universal nature, how you have pervaded into every atom, everywhere, in every being, the entire cosmos, entire existence. Please, I want to see that. Of course, Krishna says you can't see, you know, because using external senses you can't see, so I will give you the vision, the power, I will empower you to see my universal nature. Okay, and there, Krishna is showing his universal form, and live telecast is happening. Arjuna is giving telecast, and who is seeing that? Sanjaya is seeing that, right? Sanjaya is directly seeing and relaying that, and who is hearing? And what Dhritarashtra is hearing, you don't know, you know? He's hearing all the Kuruputras, that is Duryodhan, Dushasana, all his sons have already entered in the devouring mouth of that universal form. Who is hearing? Dhritarashtra. Do you think Dhritarashtra went through any changes? He is still so attached to his sons. He is still thinking that his sons will win the victory, win the war. He is hearing directly. It's like a direct relay going on, that his sons are already dead. They're finished. And still, Dhritarashtra is so bewildered by his own filial affection that he could not understand. He could not even understand after his 100 sons were killed. That is the nature of illusory energy. Illusory energy binds us to ignorance in so many forms. In so many forms. To be illumined in the science of Krishna consciousness, we require special mercy. We require special mercy of devotees. Special mercy of Acharya. You know, you saw in the purport. He says that Krishna can do everything on his own. But Krishna takes pleasure when he does things through his devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is capable enough to praise the science of Krishna consciousness in every part of the world. But then he enjoyed most when Prabhupada went from town to town, cities to city, continent to continent, and spread Krishna consciousness. He enjoyed most. That is why devotee association is most important to get rid of illusory energy. And what kind of devotees? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he visits Vrindavan, and then he is taken because, he didn't want to stay here because too much of crowd. So he was taken, from this Vrindavan. Most likely he went from towards Ghaziabad and Moradabad, and then he caught the path of Ganga. Right? He was taken in the pretext of joining Ganga. So in that route he went to the Ganga, and Mahaprabhu followed the path of Ganga and reached Prayag. Right? And in Prayag he met Rupa Goswami. And who was with Rupa Goswami? Who was with Rupa Goswami that time? Anupama, his brother. And so obviously Mahaprabhu explained the science of Krishna consciousness to Rupa Goswami very nicely. Of course, Mahaprabhu empowered him, and that is why Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the preface, that we are Rupanuga. Rupanuga means our Acharya is Rupa Goswami. And why? Because we practice devotional service in the footsteps of Sri Rupa Goswami. And so there he says, this Brahmanda Brahmite, Kono Bhagyavan Jiva. You say that unlimited living entities we see in the earthly planet, yes or no? From aquatics to plants to insects, reptiles to birds, animals, we have unlimited jivas, right? And similarly, such unlimited living entities are there in sun planet. You know, how big is sun planet? You make a big football. The football you have seen this size, no? But a big football you keep it here. And it is said the earth planet is like a mustard seed. So you can imagine the nature of opulence the sun planet must have. Number of living entities they must be inhabiting. Similarly, the moon planet. Right? All other planets, Indra's planet, Chandra's planet, every planetary systems are full with living entities. And we are going from one planet to another planet, from one species to another species. As is going on. And still, when we are burned in a specific yoni, we are covered by illusion. We still aspire to become something that we have already become. Even much better than that. We have already been denizens in heavenly planets. We have also suffered in hellish planets. Still the illusory energy doesn't allow to open our eyes. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. It is by the causeless mercy of Guru and Krishna that the seed of devotion enters into our heart. Mahaprabhu says, when the seed enters into your heart, it is my own responsibility to become the gardener. Mali, gardener. I must know how to garden, how to water the seed of devotion within my heart. It's very important. The whole narration is there, how the seed of devotion grows and the soul I am being completely surcharged with this bhakti attains the personality, devotional personality, where the bhakti and the jiva are non-different. I become bhakti personified. Actually, in spiritual realm, everyone, every living entity is actually expressing one of the bhava of Krishna. And that is the perfected stage, and we want to enter into that perfected stage. But then I have to nurture my devotion properly. And that is why, you know, there are six processes where Mahaprabhu instructs Rupa Goswami. One is Atyahara. Next is Prayasa, over endeavor. Atyahara, accepting more than necessary. Eating more than necessary. Over and dear winning. We can live very happily with minimal energy, minimal endeavor. We don't have to work very hard to make our life sustainable in this world. Minimum energy for sustenance and rest amount for Krishna consciousness. Then prajalpa. Prajalpa is talking nonsense. All the time we are talking nonsense. Niyamagraha. What is that? Too much attachment for the rules or too little attachment or complete negligence of the rules. Then janasangha. Association with Aam Janta, those who are not interested in bhakti and laulyam, over greed. Greed. We want to have as much as you want. But anyway, the idea here is why we must follow this principle. Because this is what is necessary for bhakti to grow. A gardener must take care of the seed only when we are away from this sixth thing. Otherwise weeds will grow. If we don't take care of these six things, then bhakti seed will not grow in our heart. And bhakti doesn't grow, then we cannot understand who is Krishna. In fact, Krishna nobody can understand. Name viduhu suraganaha, 10.2. And Krishna is saying, name viduhu. Vidu means knowing. Me means me. Suragana, the demigods. Brahma, sun god, Lord Shiva. Nobody knows Krishna. So who we are? We are so insignificant. But by the Acharya's mercy, we have become adventurous. We are trying to speak about Krishna. In the greatest personality, they fail. Krishna is indescribable. How can we describe him? We can't describe him. Neither we can describe him, nor we can describe his illusory energy. His illusory energy is as powerful as Krishna. We cannot understand both of them. Right? But still, with utmost humility, we come and we try to speak about Krishna. We take pleasure in speaking about Krishna. And here, this is the offering. So we will stop with this final discussion here. Yathatvam krupaya bhutya tejasa mahima mahima ujasa justa isa gunai sarveis tatosi bhagavan prabhu. So Diti, the wife of Kashyapa, is narrating or is trying to describe Krishna. And what he is saying? One of the first quality of Krishna, he is Kripa Sindhu. He is the ocean of mercy. Very kind. The mercy only comes from Krishna. Only you know that Krishna is only merciful. You know, this is an example. We say that only Krishna be merciful. Demigods cannot be merciful. In this entire cosmic planetary cosmic arrangement, demigods can award you according to your qualification. If you have done good work, they will award you a berth in the heavenly planet. Or they will give you some opulence. If you have done something wrong, they will surely punish you. They are like judge. A judge cannot give you mercy. A judge will give you justice, what you deserve. You cannot expect mercy from a judge. We had a very famous example in Indian judicial system. Long back, one army officer called Nanavati killed his wife. When he saw his wife was with another person in the bed, out of rage, he took his gun and fired the person, the intruder. The Supreme Court Chief Justice awarded him death penalty. And obviously, the person here, he went to the president for mercy petition. Right? And of course, in Indian constitution, the mercy is only available at the president. And president gave him the mercy. Right? He overruled the death penalty. So this is just an example that how a judge can only give you justice, but he cannot give you mercy. Similarly, the demigods, they are like judges. They cannot give us mercy. From Brahma to Lord Shiva to all planetary rulers, they can only award us justice based on our actions. Mercy is only Krishna. That's why Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokhyai swami masucha. What does it mean? Yes, I have committed many sins. In my account, lot of sin is there. For those sins, if I have to suffer, then I will suffer a lot. But Krishna says, no, don't worry. Don't worry. I will deliver you from all those sinful reactions. That is why a devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, is teaching that we must approach Krishna. He is most merciful. He is most merciful. All opulences, all opulence. In Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, Krishna is telling to Arjuna, oh Arjuna, these planetary systems, they are all floating, yes or no? Earth is floating? Yes or no? Earth is floating. Sun is floating? Sun is floating. Moon is floating. All planetary system is floating. The universe is floating. Yes or no? Everything is floating. And Krishna is saying, how they are floating? By my potency. Now if you say, oh, how this is actually floating, you want to see exactly how Krishna is making all these planetary systems to float. If you really want to understand that, I don't think it is possible. We can take a big mission to understand how Krishna is making these planetary systems to float, right? People are, they are doing a lot of, I don't want to go this, but the point is that he is full of opulence. His mere opulence is that he is manifesting all these universal systems. Billions of universes are floating simply by his mere potency. All prowess and glories, strength and transcendental qualities. So this is very important for the devotees, because you see, Krishna has all these qualities. But to understand it, we have to be purified. And that is why Diti was given a process of austerity by which she can be purified. Similarly, acharyas, they give us a process. Like yesterday we had Ekadasi. Ekadasi, a day is given to a Vaishnava to perform austerity. Take food frugally, very little, even not, chant more. Read Bhagavad Gita, chant Hare Krishna more. These austerities are minimum necessary. Without austerity, we cannot understand. It is not that austerity is sufficient, but austerity is necessary. It may not be sufficient, because sufficiency is Krishna's mercy. But necessity condition has to be fulfilled to get the sufficiency condition. Okay? So necessary, just like Narada, 5-year-old, he wanted to have Krishna only. He wanted to see Krishna. He wanted to meet Krishna face to face. Because he has heard from Bhaktivedantist, Krishna is there. He has been blessed to know that this world has no attraction. At the age of 5, he left his home when his mother died. On the way, he saw beautiful flourishing cities. He didn't get attracted. He saw mines with gold and diamonds. He didn't get attracted. He saw hills with herbs. He was not attracted. He saw the lions, snakes in dense jungles. He was not frightened, because he was looking for Krishna. So that is why searching for Krishna means performing austerity, going out of our own ways, taking risk, to be always go out of our comfort zone. Now, as a devotee, at some point of time, we want to remain in our comfort zone. And that is actually our kala. You understand what is kala? Our destruction. This comfort zone, we have to give up. Once we feel very happy within our comfort zone, no way we can see Krishna as most merciful. Krishna is only opulent. Krishna is only powerful. This will not be very clear to us unless we always take voluntary steps to go away from our comfort zone, wherever we are. All of us, we are in different position, different situation, but we know what is our comfort zone. And we should be ready to give up that comfort zone for the purpose of glorification of Krishna. That will help us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Bo. Any question or comment? Yes. Yeah. Give him the mic. Very nice. Very nice question. His question is that we get Bhakti Lata from Guru and Krishna, and we are also told the Krishna Prema is already there in the soul in the seed form. So how is it? How to understand these two things? Bhakti is everything actually. The spiritual world is bhakti-moy. There is devotion, there is nothing beyond devotion in the spiritual world. Everyone in the spiritual world is connected to Krishna in bhakti. And jiva, naturally, being part and parcel of Krishna, is the carrier of that bhakti. But what has happened from time immemorial, being conditioned, our bhakti has become dormant, sleeping. Guru and Krishna, they are awakening their bhakti. So we are sleeping, jeev jago, jeev jago. We are sleeping, awakening. Right? And that is the whole process. This is a process of awakening. It is just to know, to let us know who am I. I didn't know who am I. Prabhupada said, you are the servant of Krishna. I didn't know before, who am I? But I was told, I am servant of Krishna. But once I understood that I am servant of Krishna, now I have to act. Right? Yes. Bhakti is dormant in me, but this is awakened. Okay? And that is why when we associate with the devotees who have more bhakti, matured bhakti, my bhakti is also nourished. Because bhakti is acting in transcendental plane. Bhakti resides in the spiritual plane. Okay? So, by more and more association of devotees, our bhakti is nourished. Because that is of the same plane. So the bhakti in me can understand bhakti in others. We don't have to tell. If I am sincere, my bhakti, because when I have bhakti, anything of this world is not attractive. Nothing. Nothing of this world is attractive. Only bhakti is attractive. Okay. So, we have only one hunger. Once we understand, our only hunger is bhakti. Nothing else. Okay. So, that awakening is given to us by Guru and Krishna. Any other? Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.